Okay, we have started in the topic of damages. And we have seen that there's a machlokas with Shonim, and also a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch, whether if you damage somebody, but it was the onus gomel, you had no control, no ability of controlling yourself to avoid that damage. When we talk about Otam and Mazik, when you physically damage him, is a machlokas with Shonim, a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch, wherever you're still chayv. Tosis and the Ramah says you're potter, but the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramban says you're chayv. So now we have this case. You have a case like this. We have Reuven is making Sheva Brochus. Reuven is making Sheva Brochus for Shabbos. And he orders 150 rolls from the bakery to be delivered to his house for the Shabbat brachos. He says to them, you know, if I'm not in, put out the rolls outside the house, please. Not in.
Here we go.
Okay. He pays my credit card. Okay. The bakery come, knock on the door, no answer, so they put out the rolls outside the house. Everything's good? The opposite neighbor, Shimon, he happens to run a food gemach. And the hanhoga is, the derech klal, you leave the food outside that door, he opens it door and he takes it in for the gemach. So this Friday, Reuven wasn't yet back, he was still out, and Shimon opened his door, and he saw
150 wonderful.
He saw a whole lot of crates filled with challah rolls, lined up from his door to the door opposite, in one, a big line. He said, yep, someone must have failed to donate for Shabbos challah rolls. He knows that I have a good cause for it. So yes, I do. I'm going to phone up the yeshiva down the road and see if they need challah rolls for Shabbos. Phones up and said, yes, normally we just have our normal bread. This will be an upgrade. This will be very much appreciated. So Shimon takes those challah rolls, sends it off to the yeshiva, and the yeshiva have a good time. Reuven obviously comes back and he doesn't see any order that has been delivered to his house. He's wondering what's going on. That's too late to phone up the bakery because it's already finished, closed. And he doesn't, he gets away, has to manage for Shabbos Shabbos Brachos without these challah rolls. Goes out after Shabbos and it was discovered that they did deliver it. And then it was finally discovered that Shimon and his neighbor had took them in, thinking them from the gemach and sent it off. And now the shaila arises like this. Who has to take the loss? We've got four possibilities. Is it the shop people for putting it outside in such a fashion? They have to reimburse the food and they're the ones who take the loss. The money, they have to reimburse. Is it Reuven, because he gave the instructions to put out my side my house and not led to his own downfall, so therefore he doesn't get his money back? Is it Shimon for taking hold of the challahs, which ended up being not his? Or is it Yeshiva who had the challahs? Four possibilities.
I don't have the first two.
Now, let's analyze each one individually. Let us start with the Bochrim in Yeshiva. Yeshiva. What did they do? What's the act they did? The challahs didn't belong to them.
The Bochrim did not. The Bochrim did not.
They were mazik the challahs. They ate them.
Mazik. The action of mazik. By consuming those challahs, that's an action of something.
Definitely Onis Gamor. Definitely Onis Gamor.
It's consuming.
The Bochrim are not in the picture. They're not in the picture.
It's a mazik, yes?
Mazik or like...
You take something you don't your, that belongs to you and you consume it. It no longer exists. What have you done to it? What have you done?
Enjoy it.
Enjoy something that doesn't want to.
But can we not try to the
simple one? The sign is why? You're saying that...
Because the buffering did not take any chalas. They were given food from the Hanhala of the Yeshiva. Of course, it's the Hanhala of the Yeshiva response, not the book.
They were in Shimon's Rishus, whether rightfully or wrongfully.
Who made them disappear from the wells?
The Bachel. But Shimon
before they actually ate it, it was still in existence, yes?
But Shimon gave them to the Bachel. It was in Shimon's Rishus. I mean, they didn't directly take it from Reuven's Rishus.
Fine, they did take it.
Shimon's Rishus.
So what do you call them?
It was Shimon's at that point.
You call them Mazik Bonus. Yes.
No.
Bonus Gomel.
If I go Mafia Yala now, and I pull out a gun, and I hold them up, and I bring five collars, and bring it home, and bring it to somebody and they eat the challahs for Shabbat. Those people, mafia, yeah, I'll love you for the five challahs that they ate. Of course not. I was a goslin. I stole it. I'm saying I stole it.
Right.
I stole the wood.
The Bachram ate them.
It doesn't matter.
His Shabbos guests ate them. It
doesn't matter. They're high. I'm putter and my guests are. I'm putter and the eaters
are high.
You're very guilty.
We'll get to you in a moment. We'll start with the Bachram and we'll get to you.
So because the Bachram acquired them from Shimon's Rishus, it's a disconnect now from the original Chavos.
Let's establish what the Bochum are, what they're doing, and even if they, let's say, we make them Chayiv, maybe they get a release clause from somewhere else. But let's just establish, focalize on them, and then move on to others afterwards. Yeah. They took the Chalas, thinking it was theirs, because it was given to them by the Gemach. The Gemach gave the Yeshiva Chalas. Gemach misunderstood that these challahs were meant for the Gemach. It was meant for the Sherry Brokers opposite them. They gave it to the Yeshiva. The Yeshiva thought they brought to the Gemach, and they consumed those challahs. What have they done? They have damaged property which doesn't belong to them. Called the challahs, doesn't belong to Yeshiva, doesn't belong to the Gemach. Who belonged to? It belonged to the person who bought them, Reuven. So, consumed, made, took Reuven's challahs, still belonged to Reuven, went, and that then, thinking it was theirs, but it wasn't theirs.
It's called Mazik.
The onus! Wasn't their fault? What are we said? What do you hold if you're mazik the onus? Are you responsible for the damages or not?
The Ramah says no.
The Ramah and the Tosin says you're not. But the Ramban and Shulchan Aruch says you are chayv. Even if you're mazik the onus gone, but you're still chayv. So therefore we should lachora have a machlokus in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah whether these bochum, who had these chayv, speak even theirs. When it wasn't, whether the chayv to pay for the damages they caused, the value of those chalas. According to Shulchan Aruch, should come out, maybe the chayv.
Right.
According to the balance, the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah.
But if you have the another hand of the whatever.
Okay, let's discuss this. Maybe you don't need to get to the other hand. I want to understand, without even getting the other hands, if you're saying there's someone more responsible over there, I should take the flak. Okay, now I want to try and define the Bochum, when we can say the Bochum are not chayiv, even according to the Ramban, without getting involved with somebody else taking the flak for the mistake over there. The Bochum ate something which was not theirs, but onus gomel, but the Ramban says you're chayiv, but onus gomel for mazik. So we have a very similar case
but even according to the Shita Saramba.
Yes.
Before them, there are other onsi. There are other miziki ba'onis.
Okay.
So if you're the second or the third in line, why should you get stuck with the bill? Say the person closest to the halifa.
Because there is a concept of lots of mizagova, lots of mizagova in Baba Kama. Where that you're the main person, but you're the secondary person. But for me, it's easier for me to reclaim my losses from the secondary person, and I can go to the secondary person.
Why is it easier for you to claim from the
boss? You will maybe have to chase for him. Maybe. There's scenarios. Do I have an ability of chasing these Bochum to get my money, and maybe the Bochum can get their money back from somebody else who's more responsible, but are the Bochum Bechlar responsible at all for the damages? Lechora they are, according to the Shitzes and Ban and Shulchan Aruch. But there is a Gemara Beferish, which is mamish like this case, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch for Well Shimon Mem Aleph. It says like this, Heniach Lehem Avihem Parash Ula. A person borrowed a cow, and then he died without telling his relatives that the cows in his backyard is not his by warrant. He didn't tell anyone. He died. The relatives, they come, divide up the estates, and they see there's a cow in the backyard. What are we going to do with the cow? Oh, belongs to our father. What should we do with the cow in the backyard? It belongs to our father. Choshu shavim. They thought it belonged to their father. So what did they do? Tavchu v'ochluhu. They went and shechted it and ate it. But it wasn't theirs. It wasn't their father's. It was borrowed. They didn't know. They thought it was theirs. The halacha is, they do not have to pay for damages. They only have to pay for benefit they got. How do you measure benefit? So the way to measure benefits over there is 2/3 of the value of the meat. If it's damages, you have to pay for the whole value of the meat. No, you don't have to pay for damages over there. Because 2/3, you only have to pay for benefits, and benefits 2/3 of the value of that meat. So Tosis holds always that when you mazik something the onus, you're off the hook. He says that's pshat in this Gemara. Why are these relatives who ate a cow which they thought that was their father's but really was borrowed, why are they not chayav for damage and only have to pay for benefits? It's because they did damage it. The shogeg or the owner of the Shia, they thought legitimately that was their father's, and therefore it was damaging the owners, you're off the hook, but you have to pay for benefits, because you got benefits. Ah, we'll come into that in a minute. Why it's also not guessing. Yeah? So Tosis brings this right. Now, that's very good, you hold like Tosis. That if you mazik the owners, you're off the hook. That's what these Yoshim do, you're off the hook. But the Ban and the Shulchan Aruch holds that if you mazik the owners, you're still chayiv. They can't argue with the Gemara. So what? And the Shulchan Aruch actually passes it over here. So what's the shot over here? Why are you off the hook according to those shitters that hold normally that it's owners, even owners Gomor, you're still chayiv? Why over here? You're off the hook? It's a question on those shitters. So the Ramban understands he's in a difficult predicament with this Gemara, because he asks it as a kash on himself. The Ramban asks it as a kash on himself, and he says an answer, and I want you to explain to me his answer. It's a very cryptic answer. I want you to tell me, what does the Ramban mean? This chayiv, why is different? So the Ramban says, yes, I realize it's a problem, I'm going to answer it. What does he say? Avahai, the Rishus Kanochis, they had permission, the Ksorvin Shalbimhi, they thought it was their father's. No, they're not going to be chayiv for damages over there. They had permission, they thought it was their father's, and therefore they're not going to be chayiv for damages. What does the Ramban mean? He knows he's got a kasha against him. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to say, no, this is not a kasha. Why? Because they have permission. They thought it was their father's, and it's not a problem. How have you answered it? You hold mazik, the onus gomor, is normally chayiv. Why? What? How these words answer that question?
Maybe it's the three words, divrishus konachis, it's not just they made an innocent mistake. They had a very good basis to think otherwise, to think that it really is there. What is it? It's in their father's yard. In other words, it's not a case of mistaken identity. The cow was in the reshus of their father's property. There's no reason to assume that it's borrowed. The default assumption would be that it is his.
Very good. Excellent.
It's not 50-50. The presumption should have been that it's okay. Their father's in the Dutch market.
Okay.
They didn't have to say, maybe this is a borrowed cow.
Has anyone got more something to add or to say differently? It's a borrowed cat. It's not even Yusha. It didn't belong to the father. Okay. So the answer is like basically like you're saying, let's explain it with the way that the Achronim use the Lashon. I have, somebody's holding something. He's carrying around his watch. He's got his watch in his hands. Now, I go up to him in the streets, in front of full daylight, in front of witnesses, snatch it off him. Ah! Everyone, he shouts, Gonuf, Gonuf! I say, no, no, Gonuf, that's my watch! What's the halacha? Is he a Gonuf, according to halacha, for taking that watch, or not? Is he considered halachically a Gonuf for taking that watch, or not?
Well, no, it could be his.
You say, I've got no proof, but it's mine! But maybe it's true. Right, maybe we should say, now that he's holding it, and he's saying it's his, we should leave the money over there, because it's machlokas. You say it's yours, you say it's yours, it's you're holding it, so you keep it. Why don't we say that? So there's a concept, says, Chazaka mashatachas otam hari hu shalo. Chazal, it's a chazaka, which says, someone has something, it means it's his. Even though we don't know if he ever bought it, we don't know where he got it from, but he's holding it and he's using it. We now establish as a fact that it's his totally. Halachically, so much so that somebody takes it and claims it's his, he's called a gunner for taking it. Because even though we don't know you bought it, but since you're holding it and using it, we establish it's definitely yours because of this chazaka. And it makes him even a gunner. Makes him possible. So what the Ramban is saying over here, these Yoshim walked into the house. This old cow in the backyard, no one told them that this cow was a borrowed cow. It was in the father's backyard. He died. The Torah says under those circumstances, you have 100% right to assume that it's yours. It's in your father's backyard. Everything that's in your father's house, you assume is yours. Halachically, it's yours. So somebody comes and take that cow, he's a gun.
Why didn't the Ramban simply use that phrase that you... What was that phrase that you said? The chazaka versus...
Chazaka, kol ma'asher tachas, otam harihu shalom.
Yes, why didn't he...
So when the Ramban says versus, he's saying... They have permission to eat it. Why they got permission to eat it? Who gave them permission to eat it? Who gave them permission?
The
owner gave it to them permission. The father gave them permission. Who gave them permission?
The Torah
gave them permission because of this chazaka. It's totally yours because of this chazaka. So the Torah said, go ahead and eat it, consume it, mazik it, because it's yours. Now you can't charge me afterwards. You want to say that I'm chayav for damage? The Torah told me to eat it. How can you charge me? The Torah told me to eat it. The Torah said, I am the owner. I should act like I'm the owner. Means eat it. Can't charge me for damages over that. I was given permission. I had rishus. Rishus of the Torah. So therefore, the Rabban is saying, even although if you mazik something, the owner's even owner's gomel. A huge wind, unusual hurricane wind, blew you off and you smashed something up. Because of that, owner's gomel was not in your control. Just still chayev. But here, when you consume the animal, you're not chayev. Because the Torah says, halachically, we're giving you a pasak. Go and eat this because you are the owners under the circumstances, the scenario over here. So you can't now turn around, oh, it was a mistake, so you're chayev. No, the Torah told me as a pasak, I should go and consume it in this case. Therefore, these bachlim, have they got any reason to think that it should belong to somebody else besides the yeshivas? No. So therefore, even the Ramban, who normally says that you're chayiv, the onus if you mazik something, here the bachlim won't be chayiv for damages caused. Because the Torah says, go ahead and eat it. You have all the right in the world to think and assume that these challahs belong to the yeshiva. Be put on your plate from the yeshiva. Therefore, when you consume it, you're not going to be chayav damages, lekula alma. Not coming on to any other svaras. Saikon in Tosis, Saikon in Ramban, these bochim are not chayav for damages.
They might be chayav for the benefit.
Now, before we get on to that, we're going to now discuss Shimon. Shimon, the owner of the Gemach, is he chayv? On what accounts could I obligate him? What action did he do which I could say that could make him obligated as the Gemach for taking chalas, those chalas, and giving them to the yeshiva? Under what concept in halacha would I define him under that concept to maybe make him chayv to pay as being the Gemach? What did he do? Kasheya, but what did he do? What action did he do? Ganav. Let's try and make Shimon, the owner of the Gemach, into a ganav. If he's a ganav, then he has to pay. So the shayla is Shimon, the owner of the Gemach, a ganav when he took those chalas from outside his door into his house? Is he onus, gomor? Is he like the bochrim, or do you say he's a bit negligent?
He doesn't have the chazaka working in his favor.
See, has got no chazaka working in his favor. Outside his door.
It was an honest mistake. It doesn't put it into his reshus.
Is it common for people to leave food as it was left?
Food outside the door is common.
In a straight row all the way across the street?
Where else are you going to put them? You're not going to block the... If you've got so much... Kamut over
now
there.
You're blocking the hallway from the hallway, I understand it.
No, you're having a line that goes from one door to the other door that still leaves another path to each person's door. Yeah? Maybe. Don't want to pile it up in front of the door because then the person can't walk into his house. Yeah? So the side it is Shimon a gun.
Gun is not a nice word. He made an honest mistake, but he's still piling.
Okay.
Not a gun.
A gun of Bishogeg.
Gun of Bishogeg.
So we're going to discuss another case which involves the same factor, and by that we're going to establish whether a ganav b'shogeg is called a ganav. If he's called a ganav b'shogeg, then you're chayv.
But if
he's not called a ganav, he's potter.
And even if he's not a ganav, he's a mazik.
He didn't consume
anything. If you convince me he's not a ganav, he won't convince he's not a mazik.
He may be a grommer, you're saying, of mazik, but it's better to be a ganav to get money out of him. A grommer, you can't get money out of him.
That's not a grommer.
It's a grommer. He's not a grommer.
He's the one who was sholel the reshus of
Reuben. Yeah, he took something and gave it to somebody else. What's that called? He's called ganeva. He didn't actually damage it at the end. He caused the damage at the end.
He's the leader.
As far as damages, he's indirect. As far as ganav, maybe he's direct. But Ganav b'shogeg. Okay, so let's discuss a case that went to base like this. Somebody owns a factory which they produce in that factory ice cream, and they need a lot of milk products to produce the ice cream. So they get delivered by different companies, deliver their milk products to this factory. So we have Reuven, the delivery boy of product A. Let's call him product Reuven, delivers their goods to the factory. And product Shimon also delivers their goods to the factory. Reuven was delivering his products, and he was caught on camera stealing the products of Shimon's company from that factory.
They were delivered by another delivery boy.
Yes.
From a different supplier.
Reuven delivered his products. He came to the factory to deliver it. He saw Shimon delivering his products from his company to that factory. He waited for Shimon to disappear, and then he went and took Shimon's products away. So he's stealing. Who's he stealing from? Who's he stealing from? The factory. The factory he's stealing from. He was caught by a private investigator hired by the company because they know that something was fishy. Okay? now in Bistin. So what defense does he have? He is confronted with camera pictures that prove that he was caught stealing a few times. So what do you think Reuven said?
Reuven's the gunner? He was
just Reuven's the gunner.
He was being tofus. Shimon owed him money and he was just being tofus.
Nope.
Although the factory was default in paying.
Nope. Oh. Reuven says like this, Bishop. You're right! I did take the products which came from Shimon's factory.
But I didn't take them from the ice cream factory because there was no bill of lading, so they never took Rishus upon it. So I was only taking it from my competitor. What's that going to help him?
It belongs to the factory. And I stole from the factory those goods which Shimon delivered. Fine. I admit it. But I didn't steal at the time. You know why I was doing it? Because the Manal, the manager of your own factory, instructed me to pick those up and to take it to his house. And he paid me for it. And therefore, I thought that this was under permission from the general factory. He's the manager of the factory. I didn't realize the boss didn't give permission to do that. I thought it was part and parcel of his work conditions that the manager of the factory could take goods home. So that I was paid and hired by the manager of the factory to take those goods to his house. Does he get off the hook with such a claim? Now, to put the icing on the cake, the manager had been fired for stealing.
Separate
theft. And he admits that he instructed Reuven to take it. So now, is he going, Reuven going to be chayev for stealing these goods or not? Ein shliach dvar veira, and therefore you are the gunner, yeah? But there's an extra factor here. According to what Reuven's claiming, he didn't realize he was stealing. He didn't have kavana to steal. He was being instructed by the manager, which he thought had part of his work conditions, to do that. So physically, he was doing the act of stealing, but not with the kavana to steal. Are you chayv in such a circumstances? Maybe similar to our case with the Gemach, that you're doing an action of stealing, but not with the contention to steal.
So it's a Ganev B'Shogeg, is that what you're
saying? A Ganev B'Shogeg. Are you chayv to be a Ganev? Are you considered a Ganev in such a case? Let me bring a Raya from a Mishnah. Let me bring a Raya from a Mishnah. Says the Mishnah in Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Tes, number 3. Nosnu lebachoris beno obalchov. A ganif came along and said, he went to the Kohen and said, look, I've got a son who needs to have pidyon haben. I have to give you money in order to get pidyon haben. You know what I'm going to give you? That's over there in that chotzer. It's my goods. Go and pick them up, and that's payment for you as being the Kohen. That's my pidyon haben over there.
Instead of the chamisha shleim?
Yeah. That's payment. Take it for that chotzer. So he went. So is not the bechoros benosh of balchov the shemachin and the shal and the sidochov the sofer. When anyone instructs somebody to take goods, and the person assumes that that's the person's goods that she's taking, he's been instructed by the owner. and he takes them out under instruction, thinking that he's been told by the owner to do that. He takes those goods out of that chotzer, and it dies after he takes it out. Let's say it was an animal. Chayef. The Mishnah says, he's chayef. Who's chayef? The one instructed him? Who knew that he was stealing? Or the Kohen, the Shomer, or the Socher, who thought that he's been instructed by the owner to take it? Who's chayef? Mishnah doesn't say it, just says the word chayef. Who? Who's chayef? If you say Eishiyat Avera, you should make the Kohen chayef, because he actually did the action. On the other hand, he didn't have Kavana to steal. Huh? Huh? Very good. So if you look at Rashi over there, he says like this. Chai chayef. That it says is chayef. A gun of koi is not going on the Kohen. It's going on the one who instructed him. The real Ganef. The Machayev Ganef Bekinian Shlucho. We're going to Machayev, the instructor, through the actions of his Shliach. The Kohen is like his agent to steal on behalf of the one instructed. I normally ain't Shliach Ma'aveira. That's only if you have the concept of Divrei HaRab, Divrei HaTalmud. Divrei Mishuom, you're told by Kodesh Baruch Hu to do one thing. Somebody else says, don't do like Kodesh Baruch Hu. Can you go ahead and go, not like, you're supposed to listen to Kodesh Baruch Hu, obviously. And you go like Talmud, so we say you're chayef. You've never done it. You know better. You know better not to do it. But here, since it's Shogeg, you didn't realize that there's a Divrei HaRab here. So then we do say Shiesh Shliach Devar Ber in such a case, and therefore the real Ganev is the one who instructed him. He's chayef. But not the Kohen.
You said the Av was only a grammar. You said it was only a grammar.
If you hold Shlichus, then his action is actually my hand. It's not grammar. I picked it up through his hand. I stole. So Rashi says that the Kohen who didn't know that he was stealing, he's not a Ganav. Who's the Ganav? The one who instructed him is the Ganav. Says the Rambam, slightly different. He says like this. There's a ganav, there's a tler min adir, v'nosu shom bebeis habalim. It's still in the house, that tler is still in the house, that animal is still in the house of the balim, of the owner. And he gave it, the b'choris b'no, and he said to the Kohen, go and take it. I had the quote of our Mishnah. The Hotzia Mushu Sabalim. And that Kohen went and picked it up. Umeis, Chayef. And then it dies. Your Chayef, who? Barchov Shenitinlo. The one, the Kohen. The Kohen is the one that's Chayef. The one who's getting paid, he's the one that's Chayef. Says the Muki Yosef, we have a machlokus between Rashi and Ramban, that when it says in the Mishnah, Chayef, who's Chayef? Is it the Kohen? Even though he didn't know he was stealing, is he Chayef to be called a Ganav even though he didn't know? Says the Rambam, yes, he's Chayef, even though he didn't know. Says Rashi, no, he's not Chayef, he's the one who instructed him. Lechora, we see from here, is a machlokus. If somebody steals b'shogeg, is he considered a Ganav? Rashi held that someone who steals b'shogeg, he didn't know he was stealing. But he's not totally got the release cause of owners, but it's b'shogeg, he didn't know, he's not called a Ganav. Whereas the Rambam says, even though it's b'shogeg, without kavana, but the Maisa, you stole it the other day, without kavana, you're also considered a Ganav. Machlokus. Now, why may I be wrong in making them a machlokas here between Rashi and Rambam on this nekuta of stealing b'shogeg is considered a ganav for not? Why could I be off base over here? The animal was still in the owner's house, wasn't it? The real owner of that. The real owner of that. Yes. They're definitely arguing. Rashi and Rambam. Rashi says, the one who instructed him is the Ganav. Rambam says it's the actual Kohen's Zagan. I want to interpret it, the Machlokas is, a Ganav, the Shogun, is he called a Ganav? Rashi says not, Rambam says yes. Yeah? Why I may be off base a bit from there.
Very good.
Anyone hear that?
No one heard that.
So I'll give a few seconds to think about it. You got the right answer, but no one heard. So you, everyone can still think. Okay, time's up. There's a big difference. Rashi case, the Rambam is for sure holds a gun if Bishogi is a gun. That's for sure shit is a Rambam. Does Rashi hold a gun if Bishogi is not a gun? I want to say yes. Maybe it's not such a riot. Because in this case, we have somebody who instructed him. So maybe Rashi holds a gun if Bishogi without instruction would be a gun. But since there's someone who instructs him who is not negligent, he actually knows he's doing the Geneva, then we say, it's a choice. The Shogun guy or the Mazed guy, we make the one who's a gun of the Mazed guy. But if there's only a Shogun gun, maybe he'll agree to the Rambam that gun of the Shogun is a gun of. Maybe I haven't got a raya that Rashi argues on the actual principle of gun of the Shogun being a gun of. Not. Maybe he also agrees the gun of Shogun is a gun. Just here, there's someone worse than him. Yeah. If so, if everybody agrees the gun of Shogun is a gun, then in our case, the Gemach, he stole the Shogun. Fine, it's Shogun. But a gun of Shogun is a gun. Aye, Rashi, maybe no proof from Rashi. Rashi told me about where there's someone worse than him. They was instructed to steal. In our case, there was no one worse than this, than Shimon. No one instructed Shimon to steal. Shimon just made a mistake. He stole this by mistake. Stealing by mistake. Everyone would agree is called a gun.
Let's just say that it's Kilo instruction. That's how every week he operates. This whole building knows about it. They see stuff in the hallway. That's it's a standing order.
What's the shot of an instruction? That means there's somebody worse than him. There's somebody who's bemazed. You're Shogeg. Okay, so you get it. You're the mazed guy, so you take the responsibility. But here, there's no one worse than. There's no one else here that you can pinpoint and say he's worse. It's just the Shogeg guy. So maybe everyone will agree that Shimon is called a Ganif in our case. And the case of the factory, it will be Taka Machlokas. So in the case of the factory where there was somebody instructing him, there would be a Machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi. But in our case, maybe even everyone agrees that he's kissing the garden, because there's no one instructing. You're saying something factually good. Factually good. But you're not saying something defining it in a halachic way, which will make me say you've come up with something. You're saying a factual statement, which could have ramifications in a halachic. But it's not actual halachic statements at this stage.
Does that make a difference for the person to be expected to think that? Maybe I need to ask what's going on here. Maybe it's not so straightforward.
So both cases, it's not so straightforward. Yeah.
So in that case,
so both cases are responsible. That's what I'm holding at the moment. Okay, well, now everyone agree in our case, he should have done the investigation more, and he didn't. He didn't do it on purpose. It says a gun of a stroke. Gun of a stroke. It was also a gun. That's why we're holding at the moment. But you're pointing out something factually. Statements, and we're going to actually actualize it in halacha now with the Machne Ephraim. We have a big problem. We have a big problem. What's the big problem? The case of the children with the cow in the garden. Not only did they muzzik it, but they're off the hook because Torah gave them permission, but they also did something else over there. Before they muzzik it, what did they do? action is included in the action of mazik. What else do they do over there?
Stealing. Accepting it.
What gets them off the hook from stealing? We're at the Ramban's Teretz. You can use the Ramban's Teretz for the same concept. But if you don't hold like the Ramban, like Tosus doesn't hold like the Ramban. So Tosus says, no, they're the reason why you're onus. You didn't have kavana, you're onus, you're not high for damages. But if we're saying Geneva's worse, in the concept of damages, you're off the hook if you're onus. But when it comes to the theory of stealing, we've just proven that stealing, even if you don't have kavana, you're still a gunner.
But the Torah gave the permission because it was on the...
And you don't hold up the permission, Torah, because that's the Ramban's Mahalach. I'm going with Tosus. The Old Testament says they're off the hook because their own sin. Own sin is a sorah in Mazik. It's not a sorah at the moment in Geneva. Geneva, we're saying even if it, you don't have intention to, you're still considered a gunner. So why are they off the hook in respect to stealing the cow? Correct, but they don't hold to that terrace. That's the Ramban's terrace. So it's just their own sin. They don't hold them such a lomdish chiddush that you were saying to me. They don't hold to it.
There's no difference between the Geneva Peshoge and Geneva Lomdish.
Yeah. If you don't need kavana, and you just need the action of taking out of the Rishus from Reuven to my Rishus, even without any kavana, you're already a ganav. It's not your fault. So, you're still five. Why?
I didn't take without permission. I had permission to have it.
Now you're saying like the Ramban, but they don't hold to the Ramban's terrace.
No,
that's the Ramban's
terrace. The Ramban says they have permission to use it. Because they
yes.
These will do.
Yeah, but you don't hold to the Ramban.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they had permission for the cow to be there. They didn't.
No, but they didn't have permission to shecht it and do that.
Okay. So that's damages.
So that's involved. No, in the sometimes damages also involves in the process Geneva. So before you get to here, you got both by shechting. By shechting, you got Geneva and
Geneva's taken that without permission. They didn't take it without permission.
They took for Geneva when somebody who's looking after something takes something for his own purpose. That's already called a gunner because he hasn't got permission to use it for his own needs. He's got permission to use it without not his own use. He's a showman. So the Machleh Prime says, I've got this problem and I'm going to come up with your soot. And this makes a big halachic point based on what you said. This is what the Machleh Prime says. So, Kol Eicha to the Yota, Vesovishalo, Lo Choshev Gazim. You're not considered a Gazim if you think that what you're picking up is yours. If you think that you're picking up what is yours, you're not considered a gazan. Given to Eina Mechavim, why? Why is it different from the case of the Bachar? The case of the Kohen. Over there, he is a gazan. And here, these children are not gazan. You know why? Because the children thought it was theirs. So you're not a gazan. Why should that make a difference? Shai Sobe Shushlo. Ma Shein Kein Bahit Elokech Min HaGanav. But in the case of the Kohen, Shabbish and Yudzeh Shem doesn't. Even though they didn't know they were stealing, Mekomok and nevertheless they had a kavana. What was that kavana they did have? They had a kavana to take it out from whoever it belongs to being theirs. They thought they're being instructed by who it belongs to take it from him and take it to them. So they knew they were transferring jurisdiction of this animal from being in someone's house to being theirs. Then you know taking it from somebody and putting it there. They thought they were getting instructions from the only one. So they did an action of the neighbor without knowledge. So then they called the guns. But the case of the children, when they shechted it, they didn't think they were taking it from somebody, just they had permission. They thought they were shechting their own. So they never did an action of taking out from one rishus to another rishus. So you can't be called a gunner in such a case. If you take from one rishus to another rishus, even though you thought that you're taking from the owner, you're called a gunner for sure, you're a gunner. But if you don't think you're even taking from somebody's rishus, you're not even called a gunner at all. Okay. So therefore, with Mechadish, that in order to be a gunner, you have to have rishus. That is, to take it in from one's rishus into yours. That makes you into a gunner. Even if it's by mistake. Do we have that here? in our case of Shimon the Gemach? That's my question I'm throwing to you now. Do we have that condition? Is the case of Shimon the Gemach like the children with the cow and therefore they're not Ganavim? Or is it like the Kohen who's taking the cow from the guy's Rishus into their Rishus and they are Ganavim? What is the case of Shimon the Gemach? Like the children or like the Kohen? It wasn't his before. On the one hand, you're pointing out it wasn't his beforehand. So what do you think he's doing when he's taking it in?
He's taking it himself.
From himself? It wasn't his up to now.
Or from the people who gave it to him.
Yeah, so therefore he's like the Kohen. Like Kohen also thinks he's taking it from somebody who gave it to him. You're saying like Shimon is like the Kohen. Does everyone agree that Shimon's like the Kohen? But even when you take it from Hefka, are you taking it from somewhere? You're taking it from Hefka, which belongs up to everybody, and into yours.
I thought
you
have to take it from Rishus to Rishus. He can get it from
Rishus. Okay. So it's rude to say, did Shimon ever bring it into his Rishus? Let's look at that. When it's in his house, does he have ownership over it? Is it his? Is it his? What is the Gemach? What is he? What is the Gemach? What is he? Everything that belongs in the Gemach is his?
No.
So what is he? What's his relationship to the items in the Gemach?
Shvia.
A worker for the Gemach. Who's the Gemach? What is the, who's the Gemach belong to?
Sibyl.
Sibyl? Yeah. Needy causes, stocker causes. Yeah. So therefore, when he took the food in, he wasn't taking it into his own Rishus. And he wasn't even taking it from some other Rishus to the stocker Rishus. When did he think it became stocker? He doesn't need to come into his house to make me come stocker. He thought it's already in stocker outside. Sitting in, he didn't think he was doing anything. It's already stocker outside. I'm not taking it into stocker. I'm not taking it for myself. I'm just taking it into my house to be able to deliver it to whoever the stocker is. So I'm not doing any taking it from any shus, from any shus. I'm not intending to make any transfer from one place to another place. So therefore you're not a Ganav. You have no intention to take from one Rishus to another Rishus. There's room to say that. Let us finally finish off with the Ksos. It says like this. Lo Omer Odzom Mu'ud La'olam Rabbi Shoka Kameza Dadapke Gabin Mazik. When do we say Shoka? It says the Ksos. La Halacha La'maisa says the Ksos. And the Sivas also agrees. The Halacha La'maisa Shogeg is only chayev by damages. Why? Because you got a posuk. Better, that's a better. You got a gzeis a kosev. Normally shogeg wouldn't be chayev. But yeah, shogeg and onus are chayev by damages because of the posuk. But geneva gzeila, the mabim shogeg kameis. We have no posuk to say that geneva gzeila would be considered a ganav for shogeg. But not the akas of shahatah. Therefore, halacha and ma'aseh, the ksos and the sivus are both pasuk. There's no such thing as a ganav b'shoka being a ganav. You need a pasuk, you don't have a pasuk. You only have a pasuk by mazik, not by ganav. So therefore, coming back to our cases. In both cases, if you hold there is such a thing as ganav b'shoka, you're going to hold in the case of the factory, then, okay, according to what he's claiming, that he stole, but he didn't realize he was stealing. He stole, he took from one shus to another shus. The shogeg, machlokas was shown. If you hold, there's a machlokas. Yeah? So therefore, he's going to be potter because there are opinions will hold that there's shogeg is not a gamach. Yeah? That's all. And in our case of the gamach, our case is even better. Why is it better? Because you started off with the same way the Gach was worse, because there's no one instructing him. But at the end of the day, the Gemach is better. Why? Because even if you hold, we hold halacha lemaisa, there's no such thing as a kadosh b'shogeg. But even if there is such a thing as kadosh b'shogeg, you're not going to mechayev shimon in the gemach, because one factor you always have to have. You have to have kavona to take from one rishus to another rishus. Here, the Shimon the Baal HaGemach never had kavona to take from one rishus to another. He was just taking in stocker to stocker. Not for him, not nothing. He didn't have kavona to transfer. So therefore, Shimon is also off the hook.
He's transferred to the yeshiva.
Is stocker outside his door? Is stocker inside his door? He had no intention. Then we enter the machlokas, and even ganav b'shogeg is potter, because it's a machlokas, and it's those paskins are ganav b'shogeg, is not a ganav. Even a regular person, what is a regular person? He's a ganav b'shogeg. Yes, kavana to take in, then you enter into machlokas, kavana to take in is ganeva. Ganeva b'shogeg, is ganeva b'shogeg chayv or not? Machlokas, and so says your potter off the hook as well. So we're just saying, we've got two reasons to say that you're going to be potter. So therefore, the end of the day, the bottom line is, the Bachrim are not Mazikim, because the Torah gave them Rishus, their own sin, and the Torah gave them Rishus. Shimon the Baal HaGemach is also off the hook, because he's Ganav B'Shogeg, he's not Ganav, and he may not be even a Ganav B'Shogeg at all. So therefore, who has to pay? Who has to pay then? We're left with Reuven or the shopkeeper. Yeah. Shopkeeper filled his instructions. He told to put it outside the door. Put it outside the door in a normal fashion. Yeah. So who has to take the loss? Reuven has to take the loss. But he can make some compensation back. How can he make some compensation
the
back?
Yeshiva, the boys.
Because the yeshiva got hana. How much hana did the yeshiva get?
2/3.
How much hana? What do they normally have?
100 bokas.
What do they normally eat? If they don't get challahs, what do they normally eat?
Bread.
Bread! They got an upgrade this week. Upgrade from bread to challahs. So that difference in upgrades is the value of the upgrade. How much are they prepared to pay for the upgrade? Normally they don't pay for the upgrades. No, they're not going to waste money on that. How much would they be prepared to pay? Minimal. Yeah, let's say half. Yeah, half the difference between bread and the challah rolls. Yeah, that's the hanor which they got. Yeah, so that Reuven can recover. So you know what Reuven said?
From the
yeshiva. Because the yeshiva are the ones who pay for all the goods.
They would have had to spend money on bread. So they would pay that.
Yes, yes, that. Let's say there's between the bread and the challahs, there's a difference of 50 shekels overall. Yeah. So half of that, 25 shekels. Yeah.
But then they pay the cost of the bread as well,
what? Yeah, that's the same. The difference. The bread they have to pay in any case. And the challah, the difference. And half the difference, yeah. Let's say the bread was 100 shekels, they're making up figures. And the 100 shekels, 100 shekels difference, yeah. They got benefits, which they normally wouldn't pay for, so they would pay for maybe 50% of that for the upgrade. So 50 shekels is the benefits, yeah. So Reuben has to pay, he's the one, but he can recover back the benefit, because he gave them the benefit, because he paid for it at the end of the day. So he can recover that benefit from the yeshiva, 50 shekels. You know what Reuben once said? You said this, yeshiva, you know what, I'm going to give my six sofim to them. Count as my six sofim. Can it count as my six sofim?
No,
can it count as my six sofim?
In this field. Recover.
Can it count as my six sofim?
For going your debt.
So, my six sofim, if you hold, that you can, but only the 50 shekels, not the whole value. Only what he could claim from them and he gives up, that he can count as my six sofim. So only that 50 shekels he can go towards the my six sofim, and therefore the other amount of money which he lays out, he has to pay, he can't even count as the docker, and yeshiva get their my six sofim or 50 shekels worth.
Well, this helps him anyway.
Okay, we'll see them next week.
He did the challahs or
something.
Yes. You have to be careful in your instructions. That's what you learn.
Yeah.